It is time for Kent Nyjord in the Garden. Brought to you by Nyjord's Greenhouse and Florist. And the studio just smells like sweet corn this morning. Holy cow. I don't think I've ever smelled sweet corn that far away before.
Well,
is there a special Nyjord formula to this or what?
I'm glad you didn't stop when you said the studio just smells. and you went on a little bit. But
oh, man. Talk about fragrant. Oh, it's warm. Oh, that's why. Partly, right?
Yeah, that's why.
You heated it up, so okay.
Yeah, it's...
So while you talk, I'll eat?
That's fine with me. Okay. That's better than you talking and me eating, I think. But,
Oh, sure about napkins then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Sweet corn. Ours is ready, and it's ready pretty much everywhere around.
Is this yours? Or?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
That's a... Wheel said he was looking in... And of course, most everybody grows bicolored corn these days, and I'm not sure why that is. I think it's a public perception that's a better corn.
What's the difference? Is there?
If you close your eyes, it all looks the same. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, it's just the color. I think what happened was years ago, sweet corn always was yellow, and then there was white corn. And they developed a bicolor corn that was really had an extra gene in it that caused it to be extra sweet. So it was called super sweet corn. Mm. And I'm not sure what that variety was. So people got to thinking that the bicolored corn was a lot sweeter than other corns. Well, now we have the varieties that are out there are, you have sweet white corn, and you have sweet yellow corn, and you have sweet bicolored corn. And you have bad white corn, you have bad yellow corn, you have bad bicolor corn. So it just depends on what particular variety you have. I personally, for the last 10 years, have grown a white variety. We used to grow one called Sugar Pearl. It went by the wayside and was gone, and so we've grown this one. But it's really sweet corn. If you're trying to grow sweet corn in your garden, it's difficult to do in a very small space because it takes up quite a little bit of room. You want to put them in blocks because they are wind pollinated. The pollen drops from the tassels on top of it onto the silks down below, and that's how we have to have a grain of pollen fall on each silk that fills out each one of those single kernels on there. Now, we want to start planting. I like to start planting in mid-April. Sometimes you get trouble with frost at that time, but I was a little late this year. This was planted about the 15th of May, and it's just now ready. It's the middle of August. So that mid-April one was ready about mid-July. If you can find corn in our area by the 4th of July, they've really pushed the envelope and try and get it up. So about mid-July is where it usually comes available. Planting it. I think what you do is you dig a hole and you put two fish in the bottom, and then you put three ears of corn on it. No, that's how the Indians taught the pilgrims to plant it. Yeah, because the fish was a source of nitrogen as it broke down. So what we want to do is plant seeds about 8 to 10 inches apart. Usually rows are about 32 to 36 inches apart, and probably blocks of at least four rows. Maybe three rows. Sometimes people will plant a double row real tight together and then give some space for cultivating. You want to be sure when you cultivate that you're real shallow in your cultivation because it's easy to damage the roots. What I like to do is get it planted. I use some pre-emerge herbicides then over the top of it so that if you look around, you never see farmers cultivating corn anymore. It's always weed control is done chemically with herbicides that keep weeds from germinating and coming up through it. It's a lot cleaner. It's a lot faster. Then when the corn gets to be about 8 to 10 inches tall, I come through and side dress with urea, which is a 46-00, a real high nitrogen fertilizer, because you want to really green that plant up. The green portion of the plant is what gives you the energy in the plant to develop a good ear. From silk to harvest takes about 20 days, so once you see the silks available, you're about 3 weeks out. Corn that we get now is somewhere around 60 to 80 days depending on the particular variety. The shorter ones usually come in quicker, but the problem with it is that those generally have smaller plants and thus have smaller ears on them, so you don't get quite as big ears. The longer maturing varieties usually give you a little bit bigger ears on it. And as we talked about color, I don't think it makes any difference. We have regular corn, we have sugar enhanced corn, we have extra sweet, we have super sweet varieties available. We also have some varieties out there that have an insect protection gene in it so you don't have to share your ear corn with the worm all the time. And so the taste of the corn really depends on the genetics that are put into it, plus the growing conditions you have. And we've had great growing conditions, lots of water this year to give you a substantial plant, and then lots of water in making that ear develop.
Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning. AM 1590 and FM 95.5 WTVB. Let's head to the phone lines. Hi, go ahead with your question for Kent in the garden. Hello.
A Japanese maple and a dogwood, when is the best time to trim them?
You can prune on them now if you need to shape them. The ideal time to prune those would be when they're dormant, either after they've dropped their leaves in the fall of the year or before they leaf out in the spring. That way you can really see that the leaves are off of them, you can see the structure, and you can shape them up the way you want to. But the only thing I would avoid is pruning on them maybe after the middle of September, early October, because when you prune a plant, it encourages it to produce new shoots and new growth, and you want that new growth to get out and mature and harden up enough so it will survive the winter. And if you prune late in the season like that, you'll get soft growth, and that soft growth most likely will be winter killed. Yeah.
So just after they lose their leaves, before it hits hard frost. And
yeah, or even in the middle of winter, anytime after their leaves are off, they've gone dormant, so they're not going to come out and sprout anymore, and you want to do it before they start sprouting in the spring of the year again, so you can see what the structure is that you're leaving behind. And the one caution I always have is really look at what you want to prune and double-check it, because once you make the cut and cut it off, you can't paste it back on.
It's like a carpenter, right? Measure twice, cut once?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was cut twice, measure once. And I always screwed up on that.
Hence why you're in the nursery business.
Yeah, right. You got it.
Questions for Kent, 279-1590. The number to call, 279-1590 for Kent Neitzert in the garden.
When you have an occasion to buy flowers, does where you shop make a difference? Well, if knowledgeable sales personnel, quality of product, and value for the dollars you spend are important to you, then it's important you make Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist your florist. Whatever the occasion, wherever you need to send flowers, call Neitzert's at 278-4148 and let them take care of your order. They'll handle your needs with a personal and professional touch and stand behind their work to your satisfaction. Call Neitzert's today or stop out on Fisk Road, 1.5 mile south of US 12, and see if you don't agree that there is a difference, and the difference is Neitzert's.
I have to excuse me, I got a little corn in my teeth there. So
yeah.
That's the only hazard on sweet corn.
Yeah.
Considerations in planting. Do you need to rotate where you're planting corn every year?
It is helpful to do that. You will find that you have less insect problems. I try to hide it from the raccoon and deer, too. That's the biggest problem I've had. And this year, I have not had problems with it. Deer and raccoon get in, and they like to eat about 2 bites out of the tip of every ear and throw it on the ground and go get another one. So they'll just decimate a crop, and very difficult to control.
Did you get lucky this year then, or did you do something different?
I think I got lucky, I guess. I didn't do anything different. It's where it's been planted in previous years, but not in the last 2 years. So nobody left them a roadmap, I guess. When you come to eating, that particular ear corn you had, I just threw it in the microwave for 3 minutes, and it is, you know, it's great. Fresh ear corn has enough moisture in it. It steams itself, you know, these super sweet varieties, you don't need butter and salt on them. It's a plus, but it's great to eat. When I want to fix, put some up to prepare it, we freeze it. And what I do, we used to, when I was a kid, I helped my mom, we'd husk it and pull all the silks off. That's the hardest part, mm-hmm. is getting the darn silks off. Boil it, and then put it in a cold water bath to cool it down, and then she'd cut it off the corn. Well, finally we got to the point where we'd cut it first. And so you don't have to heat all the cobs up, too. So that works pretty good. If you just cut it right off the ear of corn, put it in a big roasting pan of some sort and blanch it. I have to add a little water to it sometimes so you don't scorch the bottom, because that scorch, take it from experience, goes through the entire batch. Add a little salt and butter maybe, and my mom always add a little sugar to it to help sweeten it up even more. Bring it to a slow boil and it's blanched, and then put it in freezer bags and freeze it up. It's, you know, it tastes just like that coming in the winter when you bring it off. Now, I've had people who say they will freeze it cob and all, and I've never had it that I thought tasted good. It always tasted kind of cobby. You lose a little bit of that flavor.
At the end of the season, then, once you've got all the ears off, everything's done, special considerations in the garden with those plants and what to do with them?
Sometimes I'll take them as we harvest them. My brother has some cows right over the fence. Cut them off and throw them over the fence. No, I just disc them down or chop them down and let that organic matter go right back into the soil. If you're really good with your garden, you will kind of till it up, maybe put some oats or something on there as a winter cover on there so that it's all ready to go back in the spring.
All right. During the week, you can catch him at the greenhouse, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road, on the web at NeitzertsGreenhouse.com, and every Thursday morning right here, 8:45, with Kent Neitzert in the garden. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, we bet.
And looking forward to another tasty treat.
Another tasty treat.
That was very
road apples are coming into season next week.
Well, I'll pass on those.